You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class here at KGYM on this Monday post Cyhawk week. Great to have you aboard with us from the Circa Sports Iowa studios. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass. And you, our listener, the most important component of the equation. Love to hear from you today, and I imagine we probably will on both the winning and losing side today. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you, 319-366-1600. If you want to pick up the phone, dial us up. Love to hear from you and love to conversate with you today at 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. As we digest the first multi-platformed big weekend as far as football is concerned, notably Iowa and Iowa State. And we'll talk about that, give our thoughts about both sides of the equation, and we'll do that here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. We are presented by Tobacco Community Credit Union each and every weekday during the 3 o'clock hour. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by checking them out at their website at dupaco.com. Mark today joining me from his home on the southwest side. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, Scott. Good afternoon to everyone out there. And it was a really interesting weekend with upsets and firings in college football. You had the 49ers in your knockout pool. You're out.
Yeah, the Bengals, you're out. Can't make, despite 5 turnovers, can't make an extra point. With arguably the best kicker in the NFL. But I digress. And losing your fantasy league by 1 point.
You're on a roll, dude.
Until Patrick stepped out on the field.
They haven't even mentioned the pick 6.
No. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. 319-366-1600 already. Text coming in. Appreciate it. Says Iowa and Iowa State in the rearview mirror now. Both teams get ready to wrap up their non-con season. Iowa will take on Nevada Saturday night. Iowa State will host Ohio University on Saturday afternoon. Another 1 o'clock start at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. Well, Mark, this certainly is not headed off to any football Hall of Fame. Certainly that game from Saturday, but you know what? Matt Campbell and Iowa State, they are not going to give this one back. There, no way, no how. And congratulations to them. Cyclones come up with the victory, 10-7, in what was a weird, wild, and wacky game.
It was. Both teams kind of rue missed opportunities. Each team fumbling at the 1 and some other turnovers. It was just a really weird game. And the weirdest of all, to me, the unthinkable happened for Iowa State to win. Driving 99 yards in 21 plays and nearly 12 minutes against what was a vaunted Iowa defense, and it was a good defense for the most part. That was the strangest thing, the way in which Iowa State won the game on that 99-yard drive.
99-yard. I think that that number is starting to not be a favorite among Hawkeye fans. Would you agree on that over the last handful of years anyway, going back to the Big Ten championship game with Michigan State? But we'll get to all that in a moment. 319-366-1600. Let's start off with, well, let's do that. Before we get to the text line, Mark, let's just give a brief synopsis of our thoughts about it. I will let you go first.
Well, Iowa obviously has huge problems on offense. And I've thought about it since Saturday's game as to why. I think injuries has had a lot to do with it. You know, Iowa ended last season with a good stable of receivers supposedly coming back. Arlen Bruce, Keegan Johnson, Nico Morgani, Charlie Jones, Tyrone Tracy. To start the season, Iowa has had Bruce and some guys with little experience. And I think your offense is hamstrung somewhat in that regard when your quarterback is, you know, asked to throw to guys that, you know, may be unfamiliar. The offensive line play has been very inconsistent at best. That's putting it kindly. Thus putting a lot of pressure on the defense and the special teams, which were good again. And I also thought, is this systemic? Why is this happening to the Iowa offense, which not too long ago was pretty good, at least representative? And now Spencer Petras has the lowest quarterback ranking of any quarterback in college football. It's not all on him. Kirk Ferentz will remind you of that. But, man, some things need to get figured out in a hurry, or else everybody in the Big Ten is licking their chops.
You can't keep winning games, even with the defense that Iowa has, Mark, with 7 points. You just can't do that. Not in 2022. I mean, you probably couldn't do it in, you know, 1972, but it was a lot easier than it is 50 years later in 2022. I think the most frustrating thing about, besides the offense, we all know that as far as Iowa is concerned, is the fact that the defense is so stellar. I mean, that defense was out there forever on Saturday. I think you have to keep that in mind when you talk about the 99-yard scoring drive that Iowa State had, although I believe Iowa should have made a little bit of an adjustment somewhere along the line on Xavier Hutchinson during that drive, because that's who Iowa State was going to go to on third down. Did it three times.
Terrific.
Yeah, he's terrific. Did it three times. Did it for the touchdown. Special team. How many times do you block two punts and you don't win a football game?
Rarely.
That doesn't happen. I was doing rare things this year. Let's just put it that way. Very rare things. The offense, listen, you're to a point now where you really got to start taking a look and taking stock. And no, it's not Spencer Petras' fault completely, but you take a look at his body of work over the last 7 games, not counting the Northwestern game where he was hurt. 50% completion rating, 1 touchdown, 9 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles. That's not getting it done. That's not getting it done. I think Spencer Petras, with that being said, I think Spencer Petras is going to be under center this week. And probably there's going to be a feel-good glow over Kinnick Stadium, because Nevada's not good. We'll talk with their beat writer coming up tomorrow. They lost badly to Incarnate Word Saturday night, which is a good 1AA team. An FCS team, but they still lost at home by 2 touchdowns to Incarnate Word and gave up 55 points. Now, they also put 40-some on the board, but we'll see. We'll talk more about that throughout the week. As far as Iowa State is concerned, I think for the most part, Hunter Deckers gets a passing grade for his first road start in a very hostile environment. He made some bad reads. He made some miscommunication throws, one that resulted in an interception, and did a few things that probably will need to be cleaned up for Matt Campbell, but he didn't make huge mistakes. Iowa State ran the ball. Jarrell Brock was very good. Ended up with right at 100 yards in the game. You combine the Iowa offense with the Iowa State defense. Iowa State's defensive line won the battle up front, and it's going to be a victory. It probably should have been a victory that was a bigger margin, but Iowa State had problems inside the 5-yard line. is this an Iowa State team that's going to win a Big 12 championship? No, I don't think so. But I think it's an Iowa State team that could be as high as third, perhaps. I mean, look at the Big 12. You got Kansas going on the road and beating West Virginia. Kansas is pretty good, folks. They're getting better. West Virginia can put a ton of points on the board. Oklahoma was only up 7-3 over Kent State at halftime. They ended up winning by 4 touchdowns, but Kent State's awful. Oklahoma State, I think, probably is the cream of the crop right now because, trust me, as Dave and I know, Baylor messed up overtime against BYU and lost that particular game. So the Big 12 is wide open. If Iowa State gets in a roll, can they do good things? Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're going to be 3-0 going to that game against Baylor in week number 4 in the Big 12 opener. It's an Iowa State team that's getting that made improvement from last week. They made improvement from the start of the game to the end of the game on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium as well, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. And I echo your sentiments about Hunter Deckers. I think he's going to have a good season and an excellent career at Iowa State. No answer for Xavier Hutchinson. Kind of inexplicably, because he's the only guy that's going to beat you.
He was the best player in the field. He was the best player in the field, and usually that translates to a win.
No doubt about it. And the touchdown catch against the supposed All-American in Riley Moss, you know, was excellent to cap that long drive. But as I look back through my notes made during the game, I probably have as many stars on it as I have in a game. Stars meaning impactful plays. I mean, Iowa got off to a perfect start. Lucas Van Ness blocking the punt. Iowa starting at the 16. 2 plays later, boom, it's 7-0. And then later on, Brock fumbled into the end zone. Another break for Iowa. But then Peters had a pass deflected later on. Interception. Looks like Iowa State's going to tie the game. Deckers is intercepted by Cooper DeGene in the end zone.
We had a great game,
on and on and on and on. So many opportunities for each team. And Iowa State had just enough.
Cooper DeGene was really good.
Yes, he was.
So was Quinn Schulte again. 4 pass breakups for Quinn Schulte in that game. On Saturday. 319-366-1600. Let's get your thoughts here at 317. Start off with the obvious, 11-43. There's so much wrong with this Iowa team, I don't even know where to start, at least offensively. I believe that's what they were talking about. 6670 asks, emphatically, how is the point spread 23.5 for the Nevada game? because they lost to Incarnate Word. Iowa's got to get to 24 first.
But to the Texas point, Nevada's going from Incarnate Word to my word. Oh, my word.
90.
I've been working on that.
Thank you. That was very good, Mark. That was good. That was a good. Iowa State fans, despite a messy game, the drive will live in history. Thank you for the kind comments. Darren, a lot of help from the referees. You know what? I will say this, and I have watched Big 12 football. I've watched Iowa State football. I don't know how you can watch that and watch officiating like that for 12 weeks. There were so many weird things. First of all, I did not know that the Big 12 and the Big 10 were different as far as replay is concerned. I learned that over the weekend. And give Matt Campbell all the credit in the world because he knew what was happening with the Big 12 crew, and he got right up to the line of scrimmage because that pass was not a catch on the sideline. And then Iowa State at the end almost ended up in a tie because of a lousy 15-yard penalty for celebration, which I thought was a warning for the first one, but apparently not. Anyway, Ryan and Walford, is there any other offensive coordinator that still has a job after doing what Brian has over the last year and a half, let alone taking over the QB coaching duties. I love Kirk, but unless he drops him, he won't leave Iowa on a good note. Thank you, Ryan. 319-366-1600, 8186 says, this started last year, nothing personal against Spencer. Like him, but we need a spark. Cyclone Tim weighing in. Why giving you kudos, Mark, because you picked Iowa State. More on that coming up in a little bit. And says neither team looked very good. It wasn't a pretty game. 0560, if you're constantly overthrow receivers, it doesn't matter who they are. The best ends don't catch unreachable footballs.
Two catches by Iowa wide receivers. One by Bruce, one by Alec Wick. End of story.
Bruce didn't do a whole lot in that game, and I think that was part of the Iowa State's game plan, because knowing Iowa had only one scholarship receiver, they really made an effort to not let Arlen Bruce have a big play or two in that game. Any defense would get tired of carrying the offense for how long? Asks 0520. The Iowa defense and the special teams will outscore the offense against the Wolfpack. 1156. Trying the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is insanity. Yeah.
Well, this coming weekend, will more than one Iowa quarterback play against Nevada on Saturday? Yes or no? That's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. I won't guarantee it, but this is what I think will happen Saturday night.
Yep.
Petras will be decent. You're going to see Padilla because it's a lopsided game. He'll be decent. And we're back to square one.
Do you really do that, though? I mean.
Padilla will get in when the game's out of hand.
Well, first of all, I'm not so sure it's going to be out of hand. Number two, what happens if Padilla comes in and, I agree with you. I think Spencer Petras is going to start, and I think Spencer Petras is going to play most of the game. I would agree.
Well, the depth charts are out today, and they mean very little, if anything. Pretty much unchanged except for a couple positions. Arlen Bruce, still your main receiver. Alec Wick starting on the other side. No Keegan Johnson. Doesn't mean he won't play. Gavin Williams is back in the lineup. Nico Reganey is not on the two deep. So you might see the same wide receiver core as you have the first two games. I don't know.
When you have a bad offensive line, you need a quarterback with some mobility, and Petras is not that guy. Thank you, John. Our friend Matt. The 21-play, 99-yard drive will go down in Iowa State versus Iowa history. I would agree. You got the Steele-Jantz game, and now that is just going to be already Cyclone fans calling that the drive game. Very much so. Very much so. Back foot was – I have to disagree with you, 3252. I did not think the back foot was in. Scott Frost is available for offensive coordinator duties. 0909. Oh, my.
1207, I don't know what is scarier, the fact that Spencer is that bad or that he must clearly be the best in practice. Apparently he practices well. How much are practice tickets, Scott? Do you know?
They are not available.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 5822 asked this question last week, Mark. If Iowa and Iowa State traded QBs, how would that change your predictions? Asking them again, or asking that very same question today. Does it change your outlook on Iowa or Iowa State for the rest of the year?
Well, I think at this point, Deckers is a better quarterback. Still going to play behind the same offensive line, right?
Correct. Line is not changing. Boy, that's a tough question. Rain could not wash away that filth, says 8220. Oh, man. Crazy. Keep them coming in at 325. It is the gym class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for all the interaction. Do appreciate it as we review Iowa and Iowa State from Saturday. Hawks now 1-1. They are a 23.5 point favorite against Nevada. Now, we mentioned Nevada is coming off that loss on Saturday night at home. Incarnate Word, yeah, is a relatively new 1AA program, but they have had some success in 1AA, and they move the ball all over the place. I think Iowa is going to move the ball on Saturday night.
They had one receiver with over 250 receiving yards.
Yep.
Iowa's had 316 total yards in two games.
Illinois' starting tailback has outgained the Iowa offense so far this year.
Chase Brown.
Iowa is, as you mentioned, last as far as the quarterback rating is concerned and last as far as offense is concerned. 319-366-1600. Yes, and 93-18 reminds us about the craziest thing of the entire weekend, Mark. After all of this, Iowa gets a commitment from a four-star dual quarterback out of Florida on Saturday night, Sunday morning, with James Resar, I want to say, R-E-S-A-R, from down in the state of Florida, from Jacksonville, commits to Iowa after that particular ball game. Maybe he thinks he can come in and play right away.
It very well could be.
But he's not on campus as of yet. 319-366-1600, 326. I'm going to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot behind Taco John's. And you can eat local, try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily. Wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar, or bring the whole family for friendly service in their dining area. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com, open at 4 o'clock. What do we have on the scoreboard?
Former Iowa State player Isaiah Brockington has signed a two-way deal with the NBA New Orleans Pelicans, meaning he will go back and forth between the G League and the NBA, presumably. Lucas Van Ness has been named the Big Ten Conference Special Teams Player of the Week after he blocked those two punts against Iowa State. In Iowa's game, a week hence at Rutgers, will be a 6 o'clock kickoff on FS1.
All right.
At 6 p.m.
Eastern or Central Time?
6 p.m. Central Time.
6 p.m. Central Time. Would you like to give the results of the Emil's Hideaway? I don't want you to. You do. I do not. Dave especially does not. But I think we owe it to our fans and our listeners.
It was an odd week because I won. I was 4-2. Spencer, 3-3. And you and Dave, 0-6. Setting up perhaps the most epic comeback in Pick 6 history, as Dave is 0-11 and yet only 7 games behind Spencer.
0-11.
Who'd have thunk? David from North Liberty is the winner of our $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Not because he picked me, because I was the only one left at the end of the phone calls. But congratulations, David.
The last shall be first, Mark.
That was the case this week.
Yes, it was. We will try to do lots better next week in a good slate of games that you have for us coming up next week here. A few more texts before we get to the bottom of the hour break here and a look at the weather forecast and more. First of all, 96.63. Now, and this was, I kind of had this on the back of my mind, in the back of my mind, over the weekend as well. How many people are going to maybe do this as well? They said they're going to take a break. They're not coming for a while. And tell Mark, thank you for the new former Bear quarterback. He's going to take the Steelers to the promised land. That would be
Mitch Trubisky.
That would be Mitch the Truth Trubisky, 1-0 as a starter of the Pittsburgh Steelers. There you go. So Petras starts Saturday and they win over a, quote, not so good team. Will Kirk say, I told you so? Asks 2682 from the boat.
It's kind of odd. Iowa sold out every home game before the season began. And now this.
I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of empty seats Saturday night. Agree or disagree?
There's going to be more than a few, I think.
I would agree. Especially if there is rain in the forecast, although it is 5 days out. 5 days out. All right, 319-366-1600, and we'll come back. There's more in the football world, the National Football League, college football. There's a job opening off to the west. We'll get to all that when we return to the gym class after a look at the weather and a break here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And clouds will continue to clear out of the area as we head through this afternoon. Temperatures are going to be around 70 degrees and it will be a bit breezy at times. Later tonight, we'll have clear skies and light winds. Temperatures will be dropping down into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will be getting warmer into the mid to upper 70s. And we'll continue to warm up as we head through the rest of the week with temperatures near 80 on Wednesday and into the 80s Thursday and Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Back in 1944, there was a young watchmaker named Willa Dickens. He had his eye on a local jewelry store. As soon as their watchmaker left, he took the position. Worked long days, learned the ropes, and achieved his dream of owning and running Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. When his sons Terry and Tim could barely see over the jewelry cases, they began learning at his side. It's the Dickens family that gives Hertine and Stocker Jewelers its unbending reputation for integrity. They also offer a brand of service that hardly exists anymore, like a layaway program. When someone finds a beautiful something to have or give, they put some money down, pay on it each month, interest-free, of course. And when it's paid for, it's theirs for keeps. Stop by, see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. And step in and say hello to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean Hope Desk?
Hope Desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope. You get help now.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. No, and that'll be Wednesday night. Looking forward to week number two. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here in KGYM. Thank you for joining us here from the Circus Sports Iowa studios at 3:34. Todd and Alex coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We've got the Cyclone Coaches Show coming up at 6:30 till 8 o'clock. That will be a joyous one for Iowa State fans to tune into. I can guarantee you that. And then at 8 o'clock, we will join up with Monday Night Football, as it will be the Russell Wilson game, as it'll be the Denver Broncos headed back to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, as Russell Wilson will go back to his old stomping grounds as a new quarterback of the Broncos. We'll join up with that at 8 o'clock coming up this evening on all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. We'll get to the NFL coming up here in just a little bit. Again, if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, love to hear from you, 319-366-1600. Talking Iowa and Iowa State. Cowboys trade for Jimmy G, right? Well, that was one of the 350 things talked about today on ESPN Radio, because Dallas has a problem right now. I don't know, but I think that the Cowboys are going to look certainly at bringing in a quarterback. Now, 27-52, Mark, with a bit of a contrarian look at things, they believe Iowa actually looked a lot better this past weekend in all facets of their game. You're going to have to convince some people of that on the offensive side, 27-52.
Yeah, huh?
There you go.
Fewer yards than it did against South Dakota State.
80-27, two questions. Number one, how do all the players get hurt in practice? Do we have a strength and conditioning problem? Number two, if we are struggling with a young offensive line this year, would it make sense to also struggle with a young QB so they will be on the same page next year? We'll see. We'll see. We do know one thing, Mark. All hail the mighty Sun Belt. They had a weekend, man.
Did it ever? Wow.
They got wins from Georgia Southern at Nebraska, causing the Huskers and Trev Alberts to oust Scott Frost a couple weeks ahead of his buyout being cut, I believe, in half. Could not wait any longer. Had to make the change, and how that affects the Huskers before their game coming up against Oklahoma on Saturday in Lincoln, we shall see. We shall see. Also, from the past weekend, Marshall. What one was the better win, Mark? Marshall going to Notre Dame and beating the Irish, or Appy State going to Kyle Field and beating Texas A&M?
No question, Marshall beating Notre Dame, sending its new coach to an 0-3 record. Appalachian State, you recall, nearly beat one of the Carolinas the week prior.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Appy State's a good football program. Very, very good football program. And Georgia Southern, man, did some things to Nebraska that, Bob Devaney is looking down and not smiling at this present time. Marshall, yeah, I mean, these are all good teams. This is not a bad league, because this also, that is the, all those teams belong in the Eastern Division. Georgia Southern, Marshall, and Appy State. Coastal Carolina is in that division as well, Mark. We know what the Chanticleers did a couple years ago. They kind of turned things, the nation, on its ear. On the other side, you've got Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. Despite the fact they lost their coach to Florida, ask Iowa State fans about the Raging Cajuns from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Sunbelt's a good league.
It won the day on Saturday, there's no doubt about it. And then you throw in Washington State, one of the underlings in the Pac-12, beating Wisconsin. I mean, right now, all the teams in the West division of the Big Ten have a loss except Minnesota after 2 weeks.
True. Very true. How about the Big Ten? Northwestern drops a game to Duke. Got way behind in that game early. Tell you what, Wisconsin is not in a whole lot better shape than Iowa is right now, because right now they have their stud runner, who was bottled up by a 9-man defense in the box, and Graham Mert still cannot throw the football for the Badgers. They have a little bit of a problem right now. You've got Nebraska with all kinds of problems. And is Minnesota the favorite right now in the Big Ten West? If you had to name a favorite today, who is your favorite?
I'm in. Sky Uma.
You got Minnesota. I'm with you. I think it's the Gophers. As far as the other side of things, things going very well as far as the Big Ten East. 14-0 if you're playing the home game right now. And by the way, Rutgers and Greg Schiano in a couple of weeks for Iowa, they have not played the world's toughest schedule, including last week, but they hung 66 up last week. And Rutgers was a bowl team. Yes, they backed into a bowl last year, but still, they were a bowl team. Greg Schiano is going to get things going there. Are they ever going to be a threat probably to Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State? No, but watch out. Watch out for Rutgers.
You know, maybe Purdue's still a player in the West. I don't think you can totally discount Wisconsin and Iowa, but it's going to be a scramble. I mean, some very interesting games this week. Penn State goes to Auburn.
Yeah.
As a slight favorite. Minnesota is going to be 3-0. It's a heavy favorite at home against a pretty bad Colorado team. Michigan State is going to get a test at Washington. Purdue and Syracuse and kind of a toss-up game. Pretty interesting games.
As far as the Big 12 is concerned, early on, and like one of the texters said earlier, Texas played Alabama heads up. And all the jokes aside, as far as Texas is back, et cetera, et cetera, Longhorns look pretty good. Pretty darn good. And if they did not lose their quarterback, they would have had a better shot as far as that game is concerned. But Bryce Young did Bryce Young things there at the end. The Neil Brown watch is officially underway in Morgantown after the loss to Kansas at home in overtime. They are 0-2 and 0-1. Take a picture of the Big 12 standings right now, because the mighty Kansas Jayhawks are at the top, the only team that is 1-0 at the present time. But Baylor,
it'd be tough out, Scott.
They can score. And I tell you what, he is a really good coach. Really good coach. K-State absolutely boat raced Mizzou over the weekend as well. Not a lot of people are talking about Chris Klieman at Kansas State right now either. Like I said, the Big 12, I think, is absolutely wide open at this point. Absolutely. Texas Tech has had two really good wins. Really good wins. Like I said, Baylor really messed up because they went to overtime with BYU. BYU did not score, missed a field goal in their first overtime. And, oh, Baylor. You may be ruining that game. You may be ruining that game. Not ruling that game. Not Matt Rhule, Mark. But ruining that game. Matt Rhule, who will be back in college football in 2 years, by the way.
Isn't it interesting? What will Nebraska do? Mickey Joseph is going to take over on an interim basis. Oh, by the way, his first game is against Oklahoma. Well, where does Nebraska turn? They tried the old, favorite son hire. Scott Frost didn't work. Who's going to want the job? Is that an attractive job anymore? I think it is. Great fan base. Great tradition. But it isn't what it used to be.
No, it is not, but it's still a very attractive job. It is still a very attractive job. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They just, if you remember that going back to the golden age of Nebraska football, I mean, it was a lot different back then. Nebraska, what they would do, I mean, they'd have 150, 160 people on their roster. They would go out and get everybody they can get that was good and just, you know, store them away, have them as walk-ons, and then give them scholarships later on. You can't do that anymore. And that kind of changed the whole, you know, the whole way and the whole constant 10-11 game national championship winning as far as the Big Red is concerned. It's still a very good program. It's still a very good program. It's on hard times. There is no doubt about that. I think you just got to go away from your past and just try something. Now, what I'll ask you this: if Joseph starts winning, do you keep him? He's a former player for Nebraska.
Fred Roberts is going to have a very interesting decision, and I thought it was more than interesting that he decided to fire Scott Frost before that October 1st deadline. $7.5 million meant nothing to him or the university. They had seen enough of Frost. The contract was not negotiated. Scott Frost is going to be paid $15 million, whereas it would have been half that October 1st. They just had enough. 93-18 on the text line suggests Urban Meyer.
Oh, never say never. Nebraska will look at Campbell, says Ed. There were rumors to that. I don't see it. Do you, Mark?
I don't know.
Coach O, says Cajun Troy.
I think Matt Campbell has a better job right now.
Is Iowa State a better job than Nebraska right now?
Ooh. I think he's in a better situation. I mean, listen, he can beat Iowa and coach sixth grade softball at the same time. Come on.
I love that. That was good. And I thought that was very, very down-homey of Matt Campbell to share that.
That was a halftime speech at Kinnick Stadium. About how his sixth grade softball team from where?
Gilbert.
Down 4-2 after three innings, came back and won. Why not you guys? Let's figure it out. Yeah. And they did.
Coach O at Nebraska. Oh, that would be so much more fun. 91-68, does Iowa make a bowl? Stand by and stay tuned. Our friend
further back, how many games will Iowa win? 4 or 5? That was another texter.
True. 14:55, our friend there. Nebraska scores 42 points, and their head coach is fired. They may have scored more points on Saturday than Iowa will score all season on offense. And their AD didn't want to wait two more weeks to save $7 million because he believes the program deserves better. But we give extensions for mediocrity and not a peep from our AD.
Yeah. Wait a minute. What? Iowa's won 28 games the last 3 years? 2 10-win seasons? Is that mediocrity?
Yeah, that's a tough sell. I mean, no matter how you do it, Iowa did make it to Indianapolis last year. And the Big Ten championship game. On CBS Sports.
Largely on the strength of defense.
True. And special teams. On CBS Sports, they believe that the Kentucky coach, well, that would be Stoops. I don't see that either. Rick says, I don't even know how Nebraska would even be a possibility for Matt Campbell. Why would he want to walk into that dumpster fire? He can go 8-4 all the time in Iowa State, and they put a statue of him out front. I would agree.
Exactly.
I would agree. Yes, Nebraska fired a good coach, and they haven't really won since. That's very true. Hey, you know what? You go back to Frank Solich, Mark. Frank Solich, what, 9 games he won that last year when he was fired? It was 8 or 9, I know that. And
well, Pelini did the same thing, but he had, you know, he had other issues. But yeah, it's one of those programs that, you know, 8 wins is mediocrity at Nebraska. They jump for joy if they got 8 wins.
They'd be back.
Right now.
They would be back, baby. They would be back. 319-366-1600. Thank you for the text. Do appreciate it. If you want to pick up the phone, call us. Go ahead at 319-366-1600. Primetime, says Troy. I really don't see that.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Deion Sanders. Whew. 69-21 saying that one booster paid that other $7.5 million at Nebraska. Probably laid a check on Trev Albert's desk on the way out of Lincoln on Saturday night.
Deion Sanders, huh?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see on that. Nebraska has to learn they are like Iowa now, usually 8 or 9 wins in every 5 years competing for the title. Well, they haven't been able to do that lately in Lincoln. 69-36. They would love 8 or 9 wins for the Huskers. Didn't get that under Scott Frost. Didn't even come close to getting that under Scott Frost. What would they do if they got
Is it too early to close the curtains on this season, Scott?
For the Huskers?
For Iowa.
Oh, for the Iowa. No. No. I've seen it before.
I mean, if you're closing the curtains, you don't trust your quarterback, your offensive coordinator, or your head coach. Whereas in the past, at least the head coach has figured it out over time after bad losses, slow starts, and whatnot. But it's hardly encouraging at this point.
Iowa has come back from poor starts before. Now, the depths of what they are going through right now offensively, no. They haven't had to come out of that hole yet. But I think you gotta contemplate some changes at least, because as an earlier texter said, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is insanity. There you go. Iowa's defense and elite D will keep them in most games. Don't give up yet, but it does look bad. Says 69-36. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, a little NFL talk for you before we close up shop here today. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Just when it feels like smooth sailing, your IT person leaves and rocks your entire business boat.
Network overboard!
Now who's going to captain your IT ship? Network Computer Solutions. They're ready to hop on board and keep you on course. Whether you're a tiny rowboat or a giant ocean liner, Network Computer Solutions will keep your business cruising along with pricing options that won't make you feel anchored down. Network Computer Solutions is your IT safe harbor. Meet them now at ncsei.com.
My wife and I trust Midwest One Bank with everything we do, both commercially and personally.
We're talking with Ryan Baker about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One gave us our first business loan to purchase World of Bikes. They've been able to give us lines of credit, loans to make capital purchases and equipment, vehicles. We have all of our personal banking through Midwest One, so they really have kind of made the dreams of me and my family a reality and stood by me every time I needed them.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Back with you to wrap things up here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, we'll find out more about Iowa's opponents on Saturday night, as it'll be the Nevada Wolfpack. And we will be talking with, and I must apologize because we will find out his correct pronunciation of his name tomorrow, but Jim Krajewski will join us. He covers the Nevada Wolfpack for the paper in Reno. And we will talk with him about Nevada football and how good Incarnate Word is, I guess, right?
That's the takeaway, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. They are good offensively. I will say that. To the NFL real quick. Cajun Troy is very happy for three quarters that the Saints offense looked like, or said the for the three quarters the Saints offense looked like Iowa's offense and then started clicking in the fourth. And Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry helping out. Thank you. Your Bears had the most fun game to watch yesterday because it was in a monsoon, and they had the greatest celebration afterwards because they all did slip and slides on the turf at Soldier Field. I thought that was very apropos.
I loved it. Probably not recommended by the grounds crew after they replaced the turf at Soldier Field. It kind of held up pretty well. They squeegeed the field before the game, then more rain came later. The Bears did their best Iowa offense imitation for the first half, and then boom. Kind of a couple broken plays, and the Bears win 19-10. And already, your fantasy guy, Trey Lance, under a little bit of scrutiny.
Well, I'm giving him a pass because it was awful playing conditions. Elijah Mitchell just been reported to be out 2 months if you have him as your fantasy running back.
No George Kittle either.
And no George Kittle in that game. So a little handcuffed as far as the 49ers are concerned. The Vikings and the Packers. Vikings got the victory. Talking with Spencer before, between shows, between Spencer on Sports and our show here, and said, Spencer, man, you got to play Aaron Rodgers a little and the other starters. Said, yep. True. You just don't walk into that. You can't keep throwing week one away, man. But the Vikings played well. I'll give the Vikings a lot of credit. I thought they played well.
Packers did the same thing last year when the Saints put a number on them, and they won, what, 13 games?
Yeah.
I mean, the Packers will start winning when Rodgers blames himself as much as everybody else.
Packers go to 0-1. They will take on your Bears on Monday Night Football next week. By the way, Denver and Seattle on Monday Night Football tonight.
Probably win going away.
Is that, I would assume that's in Green Bay, correct?
It is.
Okay. Ed says skull. I don't believe I just said that. And Cajun Troy reminding us that Justin Jefferson is a beast. Is he the best receiver in football right now?
I thought he was going into the season. And he proved that against the Packers, and he's going to continue to do so.
Davante Adams was really good. And the Raiders might not have had a great game, but Davante Adams was really
good. He did indeed.
Really, really good. And the first AFC West head-to-head lived up to everything. Chiefs looked really good. And if you're wondering why they traded Tyreek Hill to go back to what they had 3 years ago when Hill was just coming into his own and the defenses had to play everybody one-on-one, that's why they did it. And Cardinals found that out yesterday. That was a good palate cleanser yesterday.
Chiefs have the most hyphenated names in the NFL, don't they?
They're up there. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase is pretty good as well. Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams. I think they all have to be up there. Cooper Kupp. Don't forget about Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's dandy as well. But, yeah, NFL Week 1 concludes tonight. We'll join the game at 8 o'clock, Denver at Seattle, coming up tonight for you on all of our frequencies. Thanks for all the interaction, everybody. Do appreciate it. And more with Todd and Alex coming your way next from the Cy-Hawk game. Tomorrow we'll preview Nevada and have more for you. Mark, have a great night.
We'll do. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union on KGYM.
On the south side, we got 6 poly panels, and please make sure they're flush.
Kwame is converting everyone on the block to solar power.
Please get a crew to wrap up 202 South Duane.
He needs more certified installers before the sun.